Westchester's great community forum. Local and vocal, where many different voices are heard in the land every day and every night. 1460 WVOX.
Lou Feliciano is not here. Lou, I hope you're well. And Colin, as soon as you can. Great to be here weekly at 5:30 on Mondays, 5:30 to 6:30. And WVOX is our home here, home of news, information, features of all types and varieties. We just interviewed Dr. Michael Goldstein, a fairly recently acquired friend of mine who's running for the Connecticut House of Representatives seat in District 4, which is basically, I guess, Fairfield County going up a little bit up the Connecticut coast and northwards a bit. And we'll be seeking out his primary opponent in the Republican Party and also his Democratic incumbent opponent, likely to be. We talk about everything here, and I recognize there's lots of things to talk about in this day 207 of the climate crisis. I would also add in the democracy crisis, and I would say the national security and economic crises. Climate emergency declared by Joe Biden and the latter emergencies declared by Stephen Mayo, both of us thoroughly unqualified to declare national emergencies, if you ask me. But for his opinion, let's go to our next caller, Bruce. Hey, Bruce.
Well, how are you?
Hey,
I was so disappointed.
Sorry?
I had all my notes ready to talk about energy causing inflation, and
yes,
your future congressman just nailed every single point I wrote down.
Yeah, he's a sharp guy. He's a sharp one.
He was pretty good to listen to. Now, he did give me another topic, and thank goodness we had a news break, because he spoke about the Congressman Himes wanting to talk about gun control.
Yes.
And I think some great questions to ask Congressman Hines are about a man by the name of Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, it looks like he lied on his gun application. He said he didn't have to do stuff with drugs, this, that, and the other thing. And while he was signing up on the form, he was addicted to cocaine and women of the night. Now, he's got pictures of himself with the guns. He's got pictures of himself with the guns and drugs. And I think you've got to go after Congressman Hines saying, when have you spoken up against this potential felon, the son of the president of the United States? And he hasn't. And our congressman has been silent on the whole thing.
It is remarkable. Let me intercede here. Bruce, I have to tell you, you're right. Those reports about Hunter Biden are very disturbing. We know the old shoe on the other foot argument. If this were a Trump, the person would have been drummed out or out of our borders. So it's very disturbing to hear the media embargo on the subject of anything Biden. So, incredible.
Well, we need two investigations because of it. We need to investigate Hunter. I mean, that's obvious. But we need to investigate the Injustice Department. And the Injustice Department has two sets or three sets of rules. Who the heck knows when they're going to implement them? But someone, we've got to take a look at that, that they turn their back on this computer thing, the thing you left behind at the repair shop.
Of course.
Laptop from hell, and all of this. So, I don't know, maybe some folks can call up and give their input on it and listen later on the SteveMayoShow.com.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you, it's a worthy subject. I happen to see Ari Fleischer, the former press officer for George Bush. And a very impressive presentation he made. He was presenting his book, but I got to ask him a question. Very interesting. You've identified all the things that we object to, the media embargoes, the lying, the stealing, the substituting of facts, the mispresentation of facts. I said, what do you think about controlling some of these social media companies and other media companies when it comes to their preventing the publication of news stories, specifically the Biden laptop? Unfortunately, Fleischer is a bright guy, and he's done very well, and he's on our side. He thought it was wrong, however, for the government to get involved. I didn't get a chance for a follow-up question, and I should have made it more pointedly. I agree with you. Government intervention here is nasty and wrong, and it should be of short duration. But you've got to recognize that these social media companies are utilities. We've got to liken them to energy companies right. and other utilities. They have monopolies, natural or unnatural. And I think we've got to take a new perspective on it. And remember when we were talking about net neutrality under a former president, there was a serious conversation about it, and I think it was a deserving conversation. We need a conversation today about regulation of the internet specifically, not necessarily broadcast channels. They're going to lie and cheat and steal like they always have, but the internet, social media companies, the browsers and the like, we'll have to look at it again, hopefully with a new Congress. Bruce, joined on the airwaves with us right now, please welcome co-host Lou Feliciano.
Steve, how are you?
Hey, Lou. Say hello to Bruce, will you?
Hello, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing, Lou? Am I going to see you at the comedy club over in Scarsdale?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to allow politicians?
Yeah, listen, guys. I want to say a couple of things here. The Republican Party right now is heading in different directions. You hear Pence is backing somebody. You hear Liz Cheney's backing somebody else for governor in Arizona. You hear all these things, Ron DeSantis, and then you hear what Trump is doing.
Yep.
We have to pull together. These little groups have to pull together or whatever. Do I think Trump is the answer? He's got great ideas. His base is still, he's still got 80 million people to vote for him. But after January 6th, I think his stock in this country went down to a lot of people. I think that he's not the answer. I think we should be building a base now for the midterm elections and a base for the next 2 years when the presidential election is to put it together. Instead of these little quarrels between everybody else, Cheney, this one, that one. I think that we need to do that. Otherwise, the Democrats are going to run all over this and take advantage of all
of this. I think it's a very good point, and I'd like you both to respond to my following point. I think Lou is right. Whether you love Trump or hate him, and very few people are in between, you've got to accept, A, he's done a great deal for our country, but B, he's a real attractor of attention, positive and negative. He certainly doesn't help us as we enter midterm elections. I tend to agree with you, Lou, on this subject. Better he takes a quieter step, good luck on that, but a quieter position, a secondary position. Let these little power bases fight among themselves. I think that's probably the best outcome for now, as long as we get to the fall elections when there's a chance at least one of the houses of Congress will be turned. Then we can talk about the 2024 election. What do you think about that, Bruce?
I think the job for Mr. Trump, if he doesn't make it through the primaries, you give him a shot, let him, you know, see how it shakes out. There's two jobs for him. Put him in charge of building the wall and put him in charge of the infrastructure, the rebuilding of the highways and all of those things that we've been collecting gas tax money for.
Very
put him in charge of anything to do with construction.
That's a fine idea.
Great idea, Bruce.
Yeah.
But here's another thing. When they talk about the January 6th thing, and he's made two tweets, President Trump made two tweets, let's keep it peaceful. But you know, and Bruce knows, and everybody else knows, when you have a vigilante of people, when you have 150 people, and like a union meeting, you start giving rah-rah everybody up or whatever like that. We're going to this. Something always happens when you have a vigilante type of thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
The problem here is this, is that with the January 6th thing, is people look at this as a vigilante.
Yeah.
And that's how they look. The American people are looking at this.
Well, certainly. Lou, also, we got to recognize that that's how the media portrays it. Whether that's the reality or not, we know the media has its own reality. Witness the 200-plus riots that overtook the George Floyd incident.
I totally agree. There's nothing you say is not true there.
Right.
But one's going to look at the other one and say, how come this is this and this is this? And that's what's the problem here.
No, you're right. We don't.
Like Bruce had a great idea. Infrastructure, construction, the wall.
Of course.
That would be ideal for Trump.
And you're
ideal.
Right. I like your point. Let's face it. The narrative, which is the term of the decade, I guess, is the media's right now. We can't do anything to control it right now. It's in the hands of the hard left. I think you're right. Let's calm down, keep our squabbles local and manageable. And by all means, if you're a Republican and you see a meeting going out of hand, I don't care if it's conventioners or union members, you got to quiet things down. And I think it's pretty well established. President Trump probably had the better of intentions, but he didn't do enough to quiet things. I don't know. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, he didn't do enough because he got so much done by being squeaky. He was a big squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
And that brought about a lot of activity and change, and he had to get people's attention. Where I was disappointed is he didn't calm down at the end and become, quote, more presidential.
Without a doubt.
Which he, quote, you're right. Said he
was. Without a doubt. But I like your idea, your idea of the National Infrastructure Project. Let's face it, I think all we need to get Trump interested in it is call it the Green Infrastructure Project. It's green as in money. Harness his profit-seeking instincts, and this to me is the true green project, not the far-left ecological thing that's going nowhere and makes no economic or scientific sense. I think your idea is very sound, and I think it's something we have to introduce to the president. What do you say,
and
Lou?
And Bruce and Steve, you look at what's going on lately with the Republican Party. I mean, we got a lot of good people in the Republican Party that we need to start priming these people for the midterm. Jim Jordan, is phenomenal.
Very strong. Listen, Lou, can you stay over the break? Bruce,
yeah,
too?
I can
you
stay. Too? I'll hang out for the break.
And let's face it, we've got about 20, almost 30 governors who are Republicans. The laboratory of democracy is the states. That's something Republicans and Democrats have been saying for decades. Let's see if it works in the next election cycle. This is the Lou Felicio and Steve Mayo Show with Bruce. We'll be right back.
My love wants to have her fortune read.
So bad, my 41. You tell me that your super fine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half.
Hello again, I'm Steve Mayo, and on the phone is co-host Lou Felicione, obviously on the mend, and Bruce Carter, our, you might say, Connecticut correspondent, and more. We're talking about everything under the sun, but of course, particularly the Trump force in Republican Party politics. Lou, you were saying something I wanted to hear.
Yes. Here's the thing, guys. We're going through a major heat wave right now. Temperatures are outrageous, whatever like that. What about this winter time? This winter, if it's a cold freeze winter or whatever, at the price of gas and fuel oil or whatever at $6 a gallon or whatever, which is brutal, is going to be brutal this winter come this winter. The Republican Party needs to build up around that's quality of life issues. They have to build up around a tractor trailer on the southern border with 150 people died of heat stroke and heat in a cage oven, a big oven.
Yes,
exactly was that died there. We have to look at these things, and these have to be the issues on this election across this country, not just for the southern states, northern states, eastern and western states, throughout this country. You look at what's going on. And with all this economy that's strained right now, people trying to pay gas prices and fuel prices, and you're putting over 2 million people illegal into this country, is another strain on this government.
Of course. And look at what it's doing to localities. Even, I think, our bubble-headed mayor of New York City has gone so far as to complain. Doesn't take much for a politician to complain. At least he's not threatening to resign his office as some mayor somewhere else. Was that in Pennsylvania? Bruce, I don't know. But anyway, listen, he's complaining about the burden of illegal aliens. Bruce, what's the answer there? What are we going to do?
Well, I can tell you what the problem is. I cruised over to Bridgeport today. And for the first time, I saw women on the corners with signs asking for money for food for their children.
Oh my God.
They were illegal aliens. Now, Bridgeport is not a sanctuary city. Okay, it's nothing like that. But here we go. I've seen four women, signs, help me, I need food for my children. One had four children. And this has never been there before. I go to the town 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Never. And here they are out on the street. And you wait until they can't afford their heat.
Of course.
These people are not getting jobs. They're not getting money. And when you starve and when you freeze, you get desperate. And I just see a huge legal problem, criminal problem coming up out of desperation. That people are not bad. They're not bad, but they're going to be in trouble.
Of course, they'll be desperate. And let's face it, a lot of them live in public housing. Let's face it, New York City Housing Authority, the biggest landlord in the world. Things are only getting more difficult with the press of unlawful, undocumented aliens, the economic problem, the looming recession, and I don't see things getting better. And, of course, you know, the mayor in the same press conference or shortly thereafter reported his position on panhandling on highways. That's the latest. It was either Hutchinson Parkway or Bronx River Parkway, one of them. Lou, panhandling on parkways and highways. Can you imagine?
I remember the old squeegee guys. Remember the squeegee guys?
Yeah.
A couple
of years ago. I want to touch on what Bruce says. It's because with all these illegal aliens, you're hurting African-American community in this country because a lot of these jobs, factory workers, construction jobs, painters, these were done a lot by African-American community. They had a lot of these jobs. Now, all of a sudden, you get all these illegal aliens that come here. The bosses undercut prices. And the African-American who fought in the Vietnam War, who fought in World War II, who fought in the Korean War, who fought in the Gulf War, these people can't get jobs, which is totally ludicrous in my eyes.
I agree with
they
you.
They cannot get a job. That's why you have to take care of your own backyard before you worry about somebody else's backyard.
Absolutely. And that, to me, is the failure of globalism. We're all concerned about the globe. We've all been brought up with that ideological ideal, and that's wonderful. But to shortchange Americans with the false charge that Americans won't do some work, I think that's wrong. I think it's culturally biased. I think it's racist if you're talking about African-Americans. The Latin Americans, the Central Americans are great people, great workers. I just think we have to strive to make this a legal process, not an illegal process.
Yonkers, any city around here, a lot of these people who have these, hire these people, gardeners and illegal people, They put money into the city hall. They put money into the government.
Yep.
So they know who has the most, hires the most people or whatever, paying them off the books or whatever. But it's a wink and a nod.
Of course.
And it's always been that way.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Again, I'm all in favor of immigration. I think all three of us are. But let's legalize it and let's not shortchange the American worker, let's face it, who made our industrial revolution with some of those capitalists.
The American worker, Steve, is the hardest worker in the world here. The American worker, they say, is greedy, wants this. American worker just needs the money to get by, to pay. They want the right pay. They are very hard workers, the American
workers.
I
agree with you completely. And they need the politicians to represent them, not people on the other side of the globe in some globalist pursuit. Bruce, your last word.
That brings us right around to the beginning of the show, to inflation. And the way to make our middle class make it is to drive those prices back down for those people who were nickel and diming to the edge anyway and now are below and under water.
Good point. Lou,
Very good.
Sounds great. Are you coming back live one of these days?
Yeah, I was going to come today, Steve, but the therapist came. My knees are acting up still a little, so
okay.
I got to give it another week.
Keep us informed.
So.
Right. Thanks for calling in.
Great job. Take care. Huh?
Thank you. Bruce.
Bye, Bruce.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Bye.
See you all. And callers, sorry we had to forego the normal give and take. We'll be back with you with news about local democracy, the sad state of New Rochelle schools, and the continuing ethical issues in New Rochelle City Hall. Lou Feliciano and Steve May with you. The Lord willing, next Monday at 5:30 here at WVOX. Have a great and safe week.